We're glad you're certainly tuned in to this, the Friday edition, the Good Friday edition of Mark and Friends, whether you're driving to work or listening to the re-airing during the evening, or maybe you're listening on your computer, or maybe you're tuned in from any part in the world. We know we have listeners throughout our country, and people throughout the world, because of our streaming audio, can tune in. So we welcome you to the ministry of Great News Radio. And on this Good Friday, there's a lot of things. I know, Jason, you want to talk a little about Maundy Thursday and the significance of Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday coming up and how we celebrate during this time of year and the significance of the biblical narrative and what Jesus was teaching us and what we can learn about Easter and Resurrection Sunday and the suffering. So there's a lot of things I want to have you share with our listeners and educate us on the importance of just even the conversation that Jesus had with Pilate. And I know you shared when you came into the studio, Mark, there's just so many wonderful things to teach and talk about. But I want to make a couple announcements before we get into the importance of this very day, Good Friday, and just thank you, God, for your plan and purpose through the Lord Jesus that we can have a Resurrection Sunday in light of the suffering he went through on our behalf. I mean, this is a real special time of year. Probably this and Christmas are the two most holy days for many Christians, or holy weeks, where we really focus on the good news message of the gospel and the redemptive work that God has done and his plan of salvation for all of us. So please stay with us for the next 20 or so minutes. And I would like to formally invite all of you to come out this coming Tuesday night at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. As you know, I've been talking about this special meet and greet where you can meet some of the radio staff and you can meet various people that are part of Mark and Friends. We have authors and artists and musicians and singers. And this coming Tuesday, April 10th, I think we're going to do it from about 4:30 to 6:30, where you can come and there'll be a dinner discount. Basically, it's anywhere from like 10 to 20% off your meal. Jason Hodges will take that off your bill as you have dinner with us. But this coming Tuesday, April 10th, staff members Karen Harrison, my office manager extraordinaire, will be there. She does so much behind the scenes work. So we want to showcase her a little. I'd love for you to come out and bless her and encourage her for all the work she's done these many years with the radio ministry. She'll be there. Jason, you're going to be there. I'm excited. Is Tasha going to be able to come?
Oh, and we're bringing all the kids.
Okay, Abigail and Jacob and Molly. So they were posted a few days ago when we had you and Tasha here in the studio. Mm-hmm. So that's at greatnewsradio.org. And then author and advisor, he works at the University of Illinois, Jeff Goldberg. And I'll have him probably on Monday's broadcast to talk about a book that he recently wrote. And he has a real interesting transformational story and testimony about coming to Christ. He grew up Jewish, and his parents had him kidnapped twice, and he got involved in a Christian cult, and God worked through that whole situation. So he will be a guest author, and we're working on a spoken word poet, a Moody student that may be down. We're still working that out.
And that's a dear friend of ours, too, so I'm just excited about hearing that.
Yeah, I saw her on YouTube. Her dad sent me a link, and I'm like, wow, this is powerful. I've never heard of this concept, spoken word poets.
Yeah.
So she may do a few of those for everyone. We'll see if we can get her on the air, but that's still an if. We're working through the details, but anyways, it's a meet and greet this coming Tuesday at the Olive Garden Restaurant in Champaign. Great News Radio will have a table set up. We're having Kathleen Jennings return. There is so much interest in her artwork that she's going to set up a display again, and she'll be back for week two to show off her work that she's been inspired because of her many trips to Israel.
Yeah, she was a part of our Passover meal last night, so it was really great, and people were blessed with her artwork.
Yeah, so she'll be back there. So it's just open meet and greet. So come on out this coming Tuesday, and every Tuesday at the Olive Garden in April, we'll have special Great News Radio meet and greets, discounts for everyone. And each and every Tuesday night, we'll have people fill out voice listener radio surveys, and somebody will be awarded a $25 gift certificate to the Olive Garden. So just one more reason to come out and enjoy a meet and greet. And what happened this past Tuesday, you know, we had some singles and some widowed individuals come out, and we had them all sit with other Great News Radio listening family members. And I was citing a reference that you talked about in the past, the importance of breaking bread with one another, having dinner with one another, the fellowship that goes on over a table. And I saw that because there was an individual that arrived right at 6 o'clock, and she was sitting alone. I said, nobody sits alone. And so I invited her to sit with us at our table, and I got to hear her testimony and what God's doing in her life. And that will be true each and every Tuesday night. Maybe you don't have somebody to dine with. Come on out. I'm playing host with everyone, and I'm doing the water on the tables, and we'll set you up at a good table with some good friendly people, and that way we can break bread together. And that's kind of a part of the message of the Last Supper and Maundy Thursday, that time of breaking bread, being with one another, being receptive to how God will work through conversation, through life stories, through the sharing over a meal.
Yeah, definitely. We have a group that meets in my home, and it meets in a bunch of homes out of our church. And what we do is they wrestle the Sunday message. There's some questions that I prepare ahead of time, and they get them. And one of them was, from Palm Sunday, this intentionality of Jesus. Because if we look in Mark chapter 1 and verse 37, Jesus has just healed a bunch of people. He's started the mega church, really, if you want to be honest. I mean, he's healing these people. People are excited. More people are coming to be healed. The disciples are like, just out of their minds going like, this is the greatest thing ever. I mean, people are coming. I mean, they probably had plans drawn up for the biggest synagogue in the world with three screens and praise band and the whole nine yards. Just kidding. But Jesus goes out to pray, and they come and they find him, and they're like, come on, Jesus, there's more people to be healed, there's more ministry to do, there's more things, come on, Jesus. And Jesus says, no, it says in the scriptures, when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. And Jesus said, we got to go to the next town. And disciples are like, why? He's like, we got to go to the next town. And then in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, it says, as the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. It isn't Jesus set out for Jerusalem or Jesus decided to go to Jerusalem. Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. Think about in your own life at times when you have been resolute in something. That's the same way that Jesus was here. There was nothing that was going to stop him from this movement towards Jerusalem. And in Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it says, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And these are just three references in the Bible that have to do with Jesus' intentional movement towards Jerusalem, towards this week, towards today, towards Good Friday. If we look in the book of Daniel in chapter 9, it says, 69 times 7 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off. Now that happened roughly 483 years from the decree of Artaxerxes. About 444. So Artaxerxes made this decree in 444 BC. 69 times 7 weeks gives you 483 years, which brings you to 30 AD. It brings you to this Friday. It brings you to today. And Jesus knew he had to go to the cross today because on Friday was when the Passover lambs were going to be slaughtered. They were going to be slain for the sacrifice. Jesus intentionally moves into today based on the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9, based on the fact of how the system worked at the Passover lambs, so that significance would be placed there for those who saw and knew that this would be happening. I think about the Palm Sunday and that triumphant entry. If some of our Bibles say that, they say the triumphant entry or the coronation, I think the ESV calls it in terms of the title of it. But did you know that about 10 years after Jesus was on the cross and Jesus went into the tomb and he was raised back, that there's a record that shows that there were 260,000 Passover lambs that were slaughtered for the Passover. Now, roughly it's said culturally that there would be one lamb per 10 people, which gives us about roughly 2 million people. So 2 million people would have come into Jerusalem for the Passover. So I want you to stop and pause for a minute and think about when Jesus comes in and he makes his triumphant entry on Sunday before today, Friday, that there would have been roughly 250,000 or upwards to 1 million people around that gate. When we read that scripture and it says, Hosanna, the king, a son of the king David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna. Do you realize that it would have been upwards to 1 million people saying this? That's why the Pharisees are like, rebuke them, tell them to be quiet, because there would have been, I've been in churches where there's been thousands of people worshiping and singing, and my heart is moved, and I have tears in my eyes. Could you imagine Jesus coming in and upwards to a million people crying out, Hosanna?
Yeah, we see Super Bowl, many thousands, 100+ thousand
right.
people, the Rose Bowl or whatever. But like you said, that 10 times, 20 times, people's flocking, worshiping, praising God. Yeah, it had to be powerful. Where literally the rocks would have almost cried out because
right.
of the disturbance, the mood, the emotion, the passion. Wow.
It would have been incredible. And then Jesus goes, and he goes through the movements of the week. He teaches in the temple. He kicks over the tables. There's a lot of things that happen in this week. You know, I tell people, I say, the thing about Easter week, and for me and my family, Easter week is the pinnacle of almost the entire year. I mean, Christmas, we don't do that much in Christmas compared to what we do during Easter. And because Easter incorporates and encapsulates every feeling that you could possibly have. I mean, you have a triumphant entry upwards to a million people. Hosanna in the highest! And then there's anger kicking over the tables and rebuking. And then there's this contemplative moment of taking the Passover meal together. There's a somber moment. And then we come to today, a day of incredible mourning and incredible sadness. And then we move into Sunday and resurrection, where our heart leaps out of our chest. We go through every emotion imaginable in this. Can you imagine God coming down into earth and this thing reaching a crescendo? How could you not go through every emotion mm-hmm. that is imaginable? And we come to today. And for me and my family, today is probably one of the hardest days that there is. Jesus goes to the cross and he goes into the tomb. And as I read the scriptures, I'll tell you that I'll spend today weeping at different parts of the day just thinking about that, thinking about how the disciples must have felt at that moment, like it had all fallen apart and it had all just kind of, I can imagine them just going, why? What happened? I mean, we were going to evangelize the world. And right now, if you're listening to the morning program and you're not listening to the re-airing, but you're listening to the morning program, Jesus has been returned to Pilate in this hour. Roughly about 7 a.m., they say Jesus has been returned to Pilate, and he has been sentenced to death. So in this moment now that we're sharing together, Jesus would have been with Pilate, near Pilate, and he would have been sentenced to death. And there's really an interesting exchange that happens between Jesus and Pilate. Jesus is brought before him. Pilate says to him, "What shall I do then with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" It's in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 22. Pilate says, "What then shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ?" And it says some of the people in the crowd said, "Crucify him." But we also know from the account that earlier his wife, Pilate's wife, had come and said, "I've had a dream about him. Let him go. Leave him be." And you know what? I run into people every single day who this is their question. This question that Pilate asks is not a question for way back when. This is a question for now, today, in our hearts. What am I to do with this Jesus who mm-hmm. is called the Christ? Because it's not just, what am I to do with this Jesus? Because Jesus would have just, that would have just been his name. But when we add this, the Christ, that means that's the office of the Messiah. That's what he came to do. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to redeem us of our sin. He came to be our atonement, our sacrificial lamb on Passover. And so it's a powerful question. And I would ask you to spend maybe a little bit of time today contemplating that in your heart and in your mind and in your soul, in your conversations with God. Even if you've been a Christian and you've been walking with God for a whole long time. And you know what? I've met some of the radio listeners and they're senior saints who have been walking with God longer than I've even been alive, longer than I've even thought about walking with God. And this question is still for you. Because you know what? We can get so comfortable with Jesus that we forget to ask, what then shall I do with this Jesus who is called the Christ? And then Pilate, in that same exchange, but in the book of John, he says to Jesus in chapter 18 and verse 36, he asks Jesus, "Hey, are you a king? Are you a king?" And Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight and prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from..." He's saying, look, I got enough people who are devoted to me that if my kingdom was here right now, I would have taken you down. And Pilate, not understanding what he's saying, goes, "Oh, then you are a king." And Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on this side of the truth listens to me. Mm-hmm. And then Pilate, and you all can argue with me if you want, Pilate commits what I think is his most grievous sin, not sending Jesus to the cross, because that was part of God's redemptive plan. Pilate's most grievous sin was when Jesus says, standing right in front of him, says, I testify to the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Christ. Pilate says, well, what is truth? Mm-hmm. Standing right there in the face of divine truth, Pilate has the audacity to ask, well, what is truth? And, you know, we live in a day and age where that is the question. What is truth? I mean, is the Bible what God says it is? Is God all-powerful, or is he just powerful? Is this truth and not fact, or is this truth and fact? Because I'm going to tell you what, the Bible is coming underneath more and more scrutiny for that. People going, well, you know what, I believe that it's some sort of truth, but I'm not sure it's really truth. And Jesus says right here, I testify to the truth. This is the truth. The gospel is the living truth of the living God. You know, it reminds me of a joke that always makes me laugh. And it makes me laugh because it's witty. And it says this. It says there was a comedian, and he says, I was walking along the Golden Gate Bridge, and I saw this guy who was about to jump. So I thought I'd stall him or detain him long enough to put some film in my camera. I said to him, I said, don't jump. God loves you. And the man says, well, I used to believe in God. And I said, well, are you a Christian or a Jew? He says, well, I'm a Christian. I go, me too. What denomination? He goes, Baptist. Me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? Well, I'm a Northern Baptist. Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? Well, I'm a Northern Conservative Baptist. Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region, or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Eastern Region? Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region. Me too. Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1912, or Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1879? And he replied, Northern Conservative Fundamentalist Baptist, Great Lakes Region Council of 1879. And I said, die, you heretic. And I pushed him off the bridge.
Oh, jeez.
I thought you'd like that.
Yeah. Well, it does lighten the Good Friday, because I always have a hard time with Monday, Thursday services. Dr. Dave Webb has had a practice over many years to really take us through a physician's examination of the brutal suffering that Jesus went through, just the agonizing, the starvation, the sleep deprivation, just the emotional pressure, the strains, the wear and tear on his body, the beating, the suffering, and it just breaks your heart. And I mean, I just can't think about that. It destroys me, because he went through that for me. He bore my sins, but even more, that time of rejection when God literally had to turn away from him, his beloved son, his very own, part of the triune God, that he turned away from God, and that gap, that loss that Jesus had to feel, I mean, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine, but he did that for us. And like you said, that word, he was resolute, because he knew what he was going to have to suffer, but he knew the plan and purposes God had for him, that redemptive plan for all of us, that we can participate in the Resurrection Sunday because of what he did on Thursday and Friday, this Good Friday.
Yeah, and I tell that joke because that's what happens. We get so caught up in, well, are you a Northern Conservative Fundamentalist, Great Lakes Region Council of this and that and this and this decree and that and that, blah, 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 blah. And we forget the truth of what Jesus came to do. Mm-hmm. We get so tied up in the jot and tittle that we forget that Jesus gave us these hands and these feet so that we can serve and love. These hands are so I can hug my kids. These hands are so that I can reach out to my neighbor. These hands are so that I can be the hands and feet of Jesus right here and now, guided by his Holy Spirit. You know, in John chapter 20, Jesus has been resurrected. And it says, Mary went outside the tomb, and she was crying, and she was weeping, and she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body was, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, they said, woman, why are you crying? Well, they've taken the Lord away, she said. I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking it was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and where I will get him. Do you know why she thinks it's the gardener? She thinks it's the gardener because it's a wink-wink and a nudge-nudge to Genesis, because this is the moment of recreation. This is the moment where it all comes back together. Jesus is out of the tomb, and this is God putting things all back together. You know, I have a friend who's Jewish, and he read this, and he told me that. He read this, and he goes, well, you know why that's the gardener? He goes, it's a reference back to Eden. It's a reference back to God bringing things back into alignment and back into tune. And this Good Friday and Saturday and Sunday is a reminder for you that God wants to bring your life back into tune. Maybe you haven't accepted Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe 2011 was a really hard year and 2012 isn't shaping up to be much better. And God wants to, through this week, through His act of humility, through sending His Son to the cross to suffer and die and bear our sins, He wants to resurrect you in this moment. You know, the power of the cross stands on its own. It's its own truth. And it is truth. It doesn't need us, but it invites us. And it requires that we simply stand witness to the truth. So if you're not driving, and maybe you're sitting there, maybe you're listening to the rebroadcast, may you close your eyes. And maybe in this moment say, Lord Jesus, I repent of all the places that I've been. I repent of the things that I've done. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your blood shed on the cross. I affirm your life and your death and your resurrection. I believe that you are sitting at the right hand of the Father and that you have sent your Spirit to lead and to guide and to speak and to love me. And I accept you into my heart right now. And let me tell you what, you too then will be out of the grave and out of the tomb, and you too then will experience resurrection. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Please get into a church service this Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. God will work in and through that message, and be intentional about finding other believers, Bible-believing Christians, that will help nurture you in your faith journey. Thanks for listening, everyone. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night and Easter weekend.